We continue with our discussion of the Virginia shooting and its aftermath by turning to the political side of the situation. There were members of Congress who, of course, went before the cameras to call for unity, cooperation, lowering of the intensity of debate. We saw how they knelt in prayer at the congressional baseball game this past Thursday night. A positive picture is unfortunately being blurred by, well, let's call them self-serving blame game playing actions. Here to take a look at this aspect is the online opinion editor with the Washington Times, author whose books include The Devil in D.C., Cheryl Chumley. Thanks for being here today, Cheryl.
Great to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Two websites, CherylChumley.com and WashingtonTimes.com. We've linked to Cheryl's work over there as well. Let me start with the on CNN Thursday night. We had the first ever joint appearance and interview with Speaker Paul Ryan and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. And as I said in the introduction, they were among those who were talking about unity and lowering the temperature and playing well together. What should we use to measure Nancy Pelosi's sincerity and all that? A calendar or a stopwatch?
Well, I don't consider Nancy Pelosi the most sincere of sources. She's one of those politicians that, from her safety Capitol Hill perch, will point fingers at people who live along the border and say that they need to open borders and welcome in illegal immigrants. So she'll point to people who are Second Amendment supporters, and even though she has armed guards, she'll point to everyone else and say, well, the Second Amendment needs to be curbed and controlled. And so here again, we have Nancy Pelosi calling for peace and unity, but her rhetoric for years now has been nothing but vicious against Republicans.
You wrote recently on Thursday as well in the Washington Times, the column was, we don't need gun control, we need Democrat control. It reminded me of all the times we've seen, and I'm just going off the top of my head here, when the Democrats used their House floor protest against the repeal of Obamacare to raise money, which was against rules of the House, by the way, but they skated on that. More recently, Kamala Harris had her rant at the James Comey committee hearing and wound up using the video to raise funds off of that. So, you know, much like you said that Rahm Emanuel always said, never let a crisis go to waste. Here we go again.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't mean that trite. I mean that dead serious, that Democrats need to tamp down on their rhetoric. They're the party of the violent protest. They're the party where, you know, taking to the streets, smashing storefront windows, setting cars on fire, clashing with police, blocking off roadways, and causing as much mayhem and destruction as possible is quite acceptable. And I go through in that piece and I name example after example. Just look at the college campuses where a conservative speaker is scheduled to speak and what happens there. Look at the protests that we've had as soon as Donald Trump won the presidency. Look at the streets of America, cities and towns near you, and how violent those protests turned. The only comparison you can make for the conservative party, for conservatives, for the Republican Party, is the Tea Party. And those protests went through largely without any type of violent uprising. And yet, so it's the Democrats who are pushing this rhetoric. We're in a resistant summer where they're going through all 50 states trying to raise the grassroots to resist and oppose all things Donald Trump. So you can pretty much expect more of this.
Just spoke in the previous segment with a psychologist who, and I asked, do those actions which you highlight in your column, as well as the Kathy Griffin bloodied Trump head photo, are those things that could be a trigger for someone like the Virginia shooter? And I don't even think a second went beyond past my asking the question before she said, certainly, it certainly could be a trigger for violent acts.
Well, if you're out calling for your base to resist by all means, and if you are a politician on Capitol Hill who's witnessing all these violent uprisings around America, and instead of denouncing it, you seem to nod quietly as they occur, you know, you're sending out a message that all ends are justified if the means is to take down Donald Trump. If you're trying to take down the Republican Party, just go for it. And I'm not saying that this shooter, you know, it's the Democratic Party's blame that this shooter went on a crazed rampage against Republicans, but I am saying that the Democratic Party has to look at their rhetoric and see how such incidents are in line with what they're quite okay with their base doing.
Cheryl Chumley, who is the online opinion editor with Washington Times, also an author. Books include The Devil in D.C., CherylChumley.com, WashingtonTimes.com. Listening to Issues and Ideas. Have you been noticing the various Democrats and media people who have gone before the cameras, the microphones, to try to assess the blame and call for the people to take the blame, but it's never them who have to be called upon to take the blame themselves?
Yeah, the Democrats rarely point fingers inward. And, you know, just in the sake of honesty, the Republicans on Capitol Hill don't usually point fingers at themselves either when they're to blame. But what I've been noticing since this Alexandria, Virginia shooting is that Republicans and Democrats are both out there calling for peace and unity. But Democrats are the ones that are doing all the violent rhetoric. It's not Republicans that are out there calling for resistance movements against the president. They're calling for unity. Democrats are talking the talk. But if you look at what's going on within their party, within their leftist base, they're not walking that walk.
I forget who they were. There were a couple of second or third tier members of Congress. There's another CNN segment, and it was one Republican, one Democrat. You know, the show of unity, and the premise was they were going to come out to talk about joining together and bonding together and going through with intelligent debate. I don't think they got a couple of minutes into that segment before the Democrat start attacking the Republicans as being the reason that all this happened.
That's pretty much how it goes, because the definition of unity and peace to a Republican, by and large, is to have sensible discourse, a little give and take. But the definition of peace and unity to a Democrat is more, you have to believe what I believe, you have to think how I think, otherwise you're wrong and I'm going to resist you. Peace and unity for the Republican Party is a good notion to keep in mind, but you have to remember who you're going against. You're going against Democrats, where tolerance means you think like they do.
Well, that's one of the things she said. She said one of the things the Republicans can do is vote more with the Democrats.
this is their notion of peace and unity and tolerance. And basically, Democrats want all Republicans to be Democrats. And if you aren't, then they find cause to resist you and oppose you by all means necessary. And you just can't run a country that way.
I wish I wrote her name down. I wish I could remember it. But like I said, it was one of those second and third tier ones who you rarely see. But she was just the stereotypical lab rat case of everything that happened. And you write, too, in the column I referred to earlier about we need don't need gun control, we need Democrat control, about Terry McAuliffe being the Michael Bloomberg surrogate. I'm surprised Bloomberg hasn't said anything yet about gun control off of this, which he usually does. But when you look at the Illinois state laws as far as concealed and open carry, I'll read right off of the law. Illinois State Police Department issues licenses for the concealed carry of handguns to qualified applicants 21 and older who pass a 16-hour training course, longest of any state. Illinois law says that state police shall issue a license to a qualified applicant. However, any law enforcement agency can object to an individual being granted a license based upon a reasonable suspicion that the applicant is a danger to himself or herself or others or a threat of public safety. Objections are considered by a concealed carry licensing review board, which decides whether or not the license will be issued based on a preponderance of the evidence. Under revised laws implemented in July 2014, the review board notifies the applicant by mail based on the objection and advises the agency brought it to it. But with all that being the toughest laws among many states for the concealed carry law, the shooter was still able to pass the 16 hours, get the concealed carry permit, and have his guns.
Yeah, just bluntly, I think it's ridiculous to try and legislate or restrict your way out of crime. The Second Amendment is there for law-abiding Americans, and yet whenever there's a widely reported incident dealing with a firearm, Democrats first jump to the media platform to showcase and say, this is why we need to clamp down on the Second Amendment. Well, to me, I go the opposite way. To me, this is why we need more guns in America, because save for those two Capitol Hill police on that Alexandria ball field, as Rand Paul said, it would have been a massive bloodbath with the shooter just standing there picking off people. If the Capitol Hill police weren't there with their weapons to take this shooter down, there would have been way more deaths. And I think it's that theme that we need to keep in mind going forward when we're talking about gun control.
And they were only there because they're part of the protection that Representative Scalise gets,
right,
as part of the House leadership. Again, Cheryl's column from, it was dated Thursday, June 15th, "We Don't Need Gun Control, We Need Democrat Control," brings the facts that bothers a lot of people, and, well, truth, unfortunately, does that to some people, fortunately, not to every person. So read it and be sure to share it on your social media path, and be sure to get Cheryl's book, "The Devil in D.C., Winning Back the Country from the Beast in Washington," CherylChumley.com, WashingtonTimes.com. Cheryl, thanks for writing the truth and not being afraid to put up there for others to learn from. Thanks for being here today.
You're awesome, Chris. Thanks so much.